good morning. I'm glad I'm here. I know where Hayes is. I love Hayes. I remember years ago when I first started ministering here. It was a few years into ministry, but the Lord gave me an acrostic, which is a letter, a name spelt vertically, and then gives you meaning for each letter of the word. And one day he just gave me the word Hayes. And this is just something that was for me, but it just simply meant heaven answers your supplications. And I just took that to mean for me and for our church that heaven answers your supplications. And we should think that way. And so when we look at the word Hayes, put a little bit of spirituality to it, because everybody knows Hayes needs to hear your supplications. Hayes needs our prayer. And every community that we live in, we're part of that community. And we're blessed because we're in that community. The community is blessed because we're here, but we're probably more blessed because they're here. Because we get to do what God's called us to do. And so we get to feed into people's lives some things that I believe are really incredibly good. And so I am thrilled. I was thinking, Brandon alluded to the fact that a couple of his family up here are teachers getting ready to go back to school. And I got born again as a teacher back in 1973, in the spring of 1973. And I used to think I got born again because I had twins, and twins would drive most people. But I started thinking about this. I said, sometimes teachers, if you don't really have the grace of God in your life, it's either going to make you be a real hateful person, or you're going to learn how to love people who are unlovely. Amen. Amen. And I needed God's grace when I taught school. The first year that I taught school, I was prayed for a lot by the Christian parents. And I'm thankful for that, because I come to know the Lord and that first year of teaching. And because of them and because of their prayers for me, I became a better teacher. And I remember one young lady by the name of Kay Phelps. Can't remember her married name now, but that's been a long, long, long time ago. But she came up to me shortly after I'd gotten born again. She said, Mr. Oakley, she said, you're different. And I said, well, okay, I got born again. And she goes, I knew it. I knew it. I knew something happened to you. And her parents were two of the parents that were praying for me. And so I'm thankful for that. We should pray for our teachers. We should pray for our students. But we also should pray for those who are in authority that are making decisions that really affect our lives in one way. Now, not only just affect our lives intellectually, but also maybe in some ways affect our lives physically, affect our lives spiritually. And so they need wisdom. And a lot of times you cannot always go by the world's wisdom. Amen. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And so we're told many things that we should do, and they are the sons and daughters of God who are led by the Spirit of God. And so you do what's in your heart to do. You do what God leads you to do, not what man tells you to do. In other words, and I even give you that license with me as a pastor. You do what the Spirit of the Lord says to do when I speak it out, but you don't have to do what Wes says to do. There's a big difference. But if I happen to speak out what God's word says, then you have a responsibility to act upon it, as do I. And so I'd just be encouraged that this word will not ever fail you. I've been a Christian since 1973, as I just said, but I'm telling you, God has never let me down once. Never. God is not in the business of letting people down. He doesn't call you into his family so that you might fail miserably. He calls you so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Can you say amen? Just a little bit of side note. I looked out and I saw John and Charlisa out there. And this last July, this last month, I had two weddings, one in California, one in Wichita. And I did premarital counseling online. And it was a full month, and traveled to California, which is I thought was amazing. And got to take Debbie with me. And by the way, she says, say hi. I'm believing to get her here. And when I say, I'm going to count to three, and one, two, three, and you say, come see us, Debbie. You say it real loud. One, two, three, come see us, Debbie. Ready? One, two, three.
Come see us, Debbie.
Now you're hooked. You have to come. She's very conscientious about doing what the Lord's called her to do, but boy, what an incredible lady she is, and number one to God, but also just to me. And so I thank God for her. But I, going through all my notes, I go through a lot of my older notes when I marry people. I have little marriage ceremony manuals that I use, and I'll go through, and I'll just look and see what I spoke into people's lives. And it's amazing how many of those I have and have saved over the years, but it's amazing how that the Lord always has something just specific to say to people. And I ran across the Schmittbergers. And so I had to share this morning, because I shared this at their wedding. And the reason I shared it is because I knew they were only going to pay me $20. And, which is not true. Which not true. It was $10. And, but here's how it goes. Cowboy John was telling his fellow cowboys back on the ranch about his first visit to Westview Church, Cowboy John Schmittberger. "When I got there, they had me park my old truck in the corral," John began. "You mean the parking lot," interrupted Charlie. "I walked up the trail to the door," John continued. "The sidewalk to the door," Charlie corrected him. "Inside the door, I was met by this dude," John went on. "That would be the usher," Charlie explained. "Well, the usher led me down the chute," John said. "You mean the aisle," Charlie said. "Then he led me to a stall and told me to sit there," John continued. "Pew," Charlie retorted. "Yeah," John recalled, "that's what Charlisa said when I sat beside her. Pew." That is so good. John and Charlisa, you just went worldwide. All the way to paradise. And I got one more for you. How many of you know that I'm pretty good at telling really dumb jokes? Well, two people are honest. This is an exercise for people who are out of shape. Begin with a 5-pound potato bag in each hand. Extend your arms straight out from your sides. Hold them there for a full minute and relax. After a few weeks, move up to 10-pound potato bags. Then try 50-pound potato bags, and eventually try to get where you can lift a 100-pound potato bag in each hand and hold your arms straight for more than a full minute. Once you feel confident at that level, put a potato in each bag. That would be me as well. I go exercise every now and then, I tell people, so when I go exercise, I like to feel good when I'm done. And I don't want to go away from, "Oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. No, that felt pretty good. What'd you do?" "Well, nothing. I do a little bit. I do the recumbent bike, and I haven't been for a while just because of schedule. But anyhow, I've got two different ways I can go this morning. I may just combine both of them. Don't know. Whatever the Lord would have me do, I'm open to do, but I was pretty set on one message, and then yesterday evening a passage of scripture came to my face, and I thought, dear Lord, that is really, really good. We live in a world that really can challenge our faith. And the good thing about it is, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So if the world is trying to challenge our faith, they have no clue because they are blinded by the God of this world, but they have no clue that they cannot stop the faith of God which came into our life when we met Jesus Christ. He became our personal Lord and Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from God. And so as we begin to stand and live that way, we live by faith, and you learn by faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more your faith will develop and strengthen. It's on the inside of you, and it just simply needs to be strengthened. It comes by hearing the word of God. It's important that you hear the word of God. And it's important that you hear it on a daily basis. It's not just hear it once Sunday morning and then hope everything works out. Man, you should want some of that every day of your life. The word is life. Jesus said, "My word is spirit and it is truth." He also said, "My word is spirit not only my word is spirit and truth, but also my word is the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except by me, by the word of God. Jesus and the word, the written word, are one and the same. The written word can literally have the breath of the spirit in it. God's word, God's breath spoke the word into being. God's breath spoke Jesus into being. And as far as the physical body, God's word is that which we live by. And that word is final authority to a lot of people, and it needs to remain that way. It's being challenged every day in our world today. But this word can literally change your life. This is a challenge to anybody. You give me 6 months, every Sunday for 6 months, and I guarantee it'll change your life. Not me, but the word will. It's not just get a little shot here and a little shot there, but I mean, you give me 6 months, every Sunday for 6 months, it'll change your life. I have that much confidence in this word. It'll change your life. And the good news about it is it'll continue to change your life every day of your life for the rest of your life. You'll come behind in no good thing. God will take care of you. The reason I want to just, excuse me for a second. The reason I want to maybe go a little bit different way is because I think it might be something that will speak more to your heart than where I was thinking God was taking me. And so I'm going to try that. And if if it doesn't help you, then I want you to know it does help me. But I figured if it helped you, it helped me. But it's out of Isaiah chapter 43, and Diana, I gave you none of these scriptures. And so you're just going to have to go back to, and probably I would say, do the Amplified, Isaiah 43. And we're going to kind of bounce over that a little bit. But you remember when I was beginning to teach you guys, I think we did one session all in, talking about being all in for God. And I used a scripture out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It said, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and in sharing, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And to prayer. All believers. Everybody say all believers. King James says it like this in verse 42 of chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They received it, they retained it, and they acted upon it. They received it, they retained it, they acted upon it. And see, I think, I look back at my life and I know that the things of God used to make me more nervous than anything I could think of. And I think sometimes the things of God still challenge us, but I do know this, that when God starts drawing you, He draws you to Him. He's drawing you to an invisible God. He's drawing you to someone that you don't see with your physical eyes, but you can be aware of on the inside. And so you begin to live life from a different stance, if you will. You begin to live life in a way that literally causes you to, I have to believe in something that is unseen. And the Bible teaches us that it's okay to see the unseen. You know, we sang that song, I liked it. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. Because we're living by faith. We're living the way God wants us to. And we begin to live that way. And the Bible says to live that way continually. And when I say live that way continually, that's what God wants you to do. It's not just a one moment in time way to live. And the thing about it is, going into this scripture out of Isaiah that I'm going to share with you this morning, I think there's probably one thing that can lead your life that you cannot do without. And you have to be a participant in it. Everybody say, I have to participate. There's something that you have to do so that your course will be realized. You just don't become a Christian and then everything work out, because you have an enemy who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll do everything he can to keep you from going on with God, because God has the best plan for your life. Everybody say, God has it. He has the best plan for your life. And this one verse of scripture, if you do it, could change your life forever. Just one word from God. Just one scripture from God. regardless of our age, changes my life. It gives me more impetus, if you will, to serve God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. But Proverbs 4:23 in New Living Translation said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. The understood subject there is you. You guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines, your guarding your heart determines the course of your life. Everybody always says, Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What am I going to do in life, Pastor West? Guard your heart above all else. There are some things that we do as a believer. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. We cast out demons. You don't hear a lot about that in different churches, but if you've ever cast out a demon, it's kind of freakingly weird fun. Because you don't know that you have power and authority over the enemy unless you begin guarding your heart. And when the Word of God comes and says that we're to take authority over the enemy, that we're to cast out devils, because that's a sign of a believer out of Mark chapter 16, it talks that way. And so you begin as a child, you begin to fear God by guarding your heart, keeping your mind set, if you will, having yourself a sound mind. Your spirit man is created in the image of God when you're born again. It's instantly renewed, but you have to renew your mind to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an ongoing basis. We do not know everything there is to know when we come into the kingdom of God. We come in as babies. But the Lord says, keep growing. Keep growing up in me. Keep putting yourself in a position to hear the word, because once you heard the word, you become alive to it, because it's going to be alive to you. But you begin to allow the life of that word to breathe into you, the life of God. And you begin to walk with God, you begin to talk with God, you begin to live with God, you begin to enjoy the peace of God. And the peace of God, when it comes, it begins to mend that which is broken. It begins to mend that which has been torn. It begins to mend that which has been totally devastated for you. I don't know what everybody's lot in life is right now, but I'm telling you right now, if you get with God, your course will be determined. He said, well, Pastor, I've had an incredible hiccup in my life. I'm on a major detour, it seems like. I'm telling you, God will get you back on course. And when he gets you back on course, he gets you back on course with him. And in that course, there's nothing but peace. There's life everlasting. And you will be glad you hung out and stayed with God. Can you say amen? I think I didn't clear my throat once all morning. Sometimes think, where's a good shot of bourbon when you need it? Bad joke. I have not had a shot of bourbon in at least 2 days. And that's a worse joke. Isaiah 43. I'm going to jump on into the little, starting in verse 1, out of the Amplified. But now, in spite of the past judgments for Israel's sin, and when the word speaks of Israel, it's just talking about God's people. And when you read in the Old Testament about God's people, you need to realize that the Old Testament is types and shadows of things to come that we begin to realize in the New Testament. And so this is talking indirectly to us, if you will. It's not just talking to the people of Israel, but it's also talking to the people of the church. The Word of God belongs to both congregations, if you will. The congregation of Israel, the congregation of the New Testament church. It belongs to us. But it says, now in spite of the past judgments for Israel's sin, thus says the Lord. Everybody say, thus says the Lord. He who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, my people, fear not. How many times a day do we need to hear that? You know, if God had wanted us to fear in any way at all, now I'm not including reverential fear of Him in this. I'm just talking about fear that has torment type fear. The Lord says about fear, fear not. So if you find yourself in a position where fear is trying to settle in on you, remind yourself of this. The Lord Himself said, fear not. Now, it would be unjust of Him to tell you to not do something and then you not be able to do it. Somebody smile, nod your head. Yeah, but Pastor, there's a lot of scary stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of scary stuff going on everywhere. But we're not moved by that. We're not moved by what we see. We're only moved by the Word of God. At least should be that way. So the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you, ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captives. Isn't that amazing? I love this. This part jumped out to me probably more than any other. I have called you by your name. When he called you, and He calls all of us, God calls us unto Him on a regular basis. But when He called you, He didn't go, hey, what's your name? Hey, what's your name? He said, William, come unto me. He said, Richard, come unto me. He said, Tom, come unto me, and I someday will give you Sarah. Doesn't say all those things, but He does call. Think about it. He calls you by your name. Why? Because He knows you. And what's going on in your life is not a surprise to God. Some of it could be induced by ourselves, but at the same time, even if we are the cause of our present situation or the circumstance that we're in, God is well able to help us get out of those things. He has called you by your name because He knows you. He knows you. He might call you later on when you've gotten to know Him. He may like when He called Brandon. He said, Brandon, come on. But pretty late, sometime later, He's going to say, son. And Brandon would hear Him call him son. And God would probably do that with Brandon just because of the way Brandon was brought up. God wants Brandon to know. This might be the spirit of grace here. But God wanted Brandon to know that you have a father. And a father that delights in calling you son. Not that His didn't, but maybe something that He needed to hear. But He calls you and He calls me by name. And I almost think, I know that when Tim and Kristen named Tessiah, they named her, and they didn't know, even Kristen didn't know, but they... Cough drop? I got good ushers. Bourbon and a pill. Thank you, Joe. Sugar-free to keep up my svelte figure. Thank you. But the idea of naming somebody, sometimes we don't really know why we'd want to name them, but her middle name is Tyree. And that's because they have Tyrese on your side of the family, on Tim's side of the family. Well, they didn't know, but we had Tyrese on our side of the family. And so I just wish they would have named her first name Yippee Tyree. And then, Had they done that, whatever they named her, God even at a moment in time is going to say to Josiah, Josiah, come to me. He's going to call her by name, and he may even call her by what we all call her for short, TT. But he calls you by name. This is personal with God. God just didn't think, wow, oh, see, it's time to call. What's his name? What's wrong? Help me out, would you, Jesus? No, he knows you. He knows you in a way that he can call you by name. This is personal. And when you start messing with God's kids, he doesn't tell the enemy, you take your hands off what's his name or her name. He said, you get your hands off my child. And then we take that same authority God given and we tell the enemy, get his hands off of us. Amen. He has called you by your name. And then he says it, you're mine. You're mine. You need to realize that when you receive the call of God, you become his. And then from that moment on, just like any good father would, he wants nothing but the best for your life. He doesn't want to bring you into the kingdom of God, the kingdom that he's prepared for us. He doesn't want to bring you into that kingdom so that you then can begin to enjoy the fruits of nobody's labors. Matter of fact, he wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labors. He wants us to be blessed coming and blessed going. He wants us to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. He wants us to do well in life. Can you say amen to that? And there are some people that they will tie spirituality and poverty together with a short string. That's wrong, or a short rope, whatever they want to tie it together with. I believe God wants to bless us in every area of our life. I don't care what. If it's God-led, it's going to be God-fed by his grace. Amen? He called us by name, and he says, you belong to me. In verse 2, it said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, and they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. Now, these are not challenges for you to walk through deep rivers with fast undercurrents or whatever that you maybe get drowned in. This just alludes to problematic situations. When you walk through troubled situations, God says, I'll be with you. When it looks like you're not going to come out of that situation, God says, I will be with you. Well, the Bible says over in the New Testament, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the earth. There's a promise from God in everything that we do. So when you walk through the fire, this is not a challenge for you to go out in some motivational moment and try to walk through and walk over a bed of coals. Now, if you want to try and do that and think, boy, I'm proving my courage. I'm just saying, I don't know how God can bless stupid. Because it proves nothing. Because there's a right way to do that. They teach it. They can teach how to walk on hot coals. You just got to make sure there's lots of ashes on them. I haven't tried it to find out, but I'm just saying, the things we do to prove our strength to others, when in fact, if we would depend upon the strength of the Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So when you go through problematic times, God is saying, I will be with you. I will be with you, Reba. I will be with you, Richard. I'll be with you, Brandy. He calls you by name. And then he says, you're mine. Then jump on down into verse 5, because the Lord wants us to get this into our psyche, if you will, into our mindset. Verse 5, the first part of it, fear not, for I am with you. The Lord's not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and a sound mind. And again, he says, fear not, for I am with you. Down in verse 8, and I like this because it just reminds us of the heart of God. Bring forth the blind people who have eyes and deaf ears who have, and deaf who have ears. And all this is saying is, bring forth those who are blind and deaf spiritually. Those who don't know. It's amazing that you run into people who've never been in church one day, not had a whole lot of teaching, but they think they know about God. And they might know a little bit about Him. That's something that sometimes we pray at the end of the prayer and in the name of God and name Lord. And the Bible, New Testament wise, we begin to learn to pray most of our prayers. We pray them in Jesus' name. Because of Godhead bodily indwells Him. And so when we pray and we speak the name of Jesus, we're invoking the triune God, if you will. The three in one. But you can come to this church and you can come here spiritually blind. And I guarantee, I've had people say, and I'm not saying this because just some of the simple truths that I teach can change your life forever. But I have talked to a lot of people over the years that grew up in churches. And they said, I learned more in 1 month in your church than I learned in an entire lifetime in the church I just came out of. It ought not be so. We should be able to learn about the things of God. And we should learn about who our true identity is in God. That I am a child of the living God. God loves me. He called me by my name. And He said, not only have I called you by my name, by your name, but I'm calling you to be mine. I belong to God. Every now and then, I don't do it every day, but every now and then I'll get in front of a mirror and I say, you belong to God. God's your Father. You're hanging out with Him today. You're hanging out with your Father. And there's a lot of people say, well, that's silly. It may be silly to you, but I like His presence. I like being aware of His fullness in my life from time to time, and I like to have it every day if at all possible. But God wants to gather us together in a way that we come together, not only individually. The reason He calls us as one is so that He can call us as a whole. Because we make up the body of Christ. You and I do. Every part supplies. Every joint supplies, if you will. In other words, you are a necessary part to the body of Christ. God's body functions better when you do your part. And He just tells you, if we can just get in that place where we don't have to fear. Fear is a temptation for everybody. And it can be somewhat destructive, if you will. But we don't fear. We just keep on trusting God with all our heart, with all our soul, and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct our paths. On down in verse 11. Again, read now the Amplifies. I am the Lord, and besides me there's no other Savior. I have declared the future and have saved the nation in times of danger, and I have shown that I am God. Little political side note here. God's going to save our nation. Let that sink in a little bit. He's not done with this nation. And I'm not going to embrace everything that comes down the pike so I can make everybody happy. Everybody knows I'm not the happy making pastor for everybody. I'm not here to make you just feel wonderful about your life. I'm trying to be here to make you feel wonderful about God. That He makes a way where there seems to be no way. How in the world is God going to save this nation? He's going to save it with a body of believers that get some backbone and begin to trust Him for what He said would happen. This nation is called by God. He called it by its name. Well, Pastor West, after all this time, I cannot believe you're still talking that way. I am telling you, I'm not giving up. I tell you what I'm not doing. I don't put my hope in something happening. Well, they said it was going to happen this day or that day. Those are a long past. But I'm telling you, in God's timetable, you'll see this country turned around dramatically. The righteous are going to begin to rule and reign again. Because the people that should be helping those righteous be in those positions of authority, the church world for the most part has been pretty quiet. Not every church has a big blabbermouth like me in the pulpit. Debbie calls me a blurter. She said, you just blurt things out. I said, I know, isn't it fun? It's fun if it's the truth. But this is not a season that God has planned that we go through. God does not want stuff going on that's going on. He does not want the iniquity going on that's going on in our country. He does not want people think, this is a simple thing, but yesterday Isaiah and Carly had a reveal out here. I had fun. A lot of family showed up and friends showed up, and neither one knew the sex of the baby. But I thank God that this is not, what would it have been like if I'd been teaching as a pastor that don't worry about the gender of your baby. After it's born, you can just wait on the baby and let that little baby make the choice. No, if it's got a wee, it's a boy. And if it doesn't, it's a girl. Science 101. Well, there comes that blurting. But how horrible would it have been because it was fun because they had everybody wear the color that they thought the baby was. A lot of people wore blue thinking it might be a boy. A lot of people wore pink thinking it might be a girl. Carly wore blue. Isaiah wore pink. Black people look good in pink. Just happen to have the wrong color. But how horrible would it have been? And all they were wanting to try to find out whether they're going to have a boy or a girl. We actually have people thinking that we're not even going to put on the birth certificate. Those people are idiots. I don't know how you can be so easily seduced into thinking you can choose, or you let your baby choose or your child choose what they want to be. I don't have a medical degree, but I can pretty much tell the difference between a girl and a boy. And pretty accurate. Pretty accurate. God did not give us this world so that we could pervert it. And that's why the people stay away from here in the thousands, probably sometimes because they're a little uncomfortable with the truth. But I think when people sit down and just talk it through, they go, you know what? I think Pastor West makes a lot of sense. It's not me making a lot of sense. It's this Bible making a lot of sense. This will never change. There's nowhere in it, in this Bible, where it says anything, but there are those that are created by God that God calls sons and daughters. And he calls them by name. Wes, my son. Or he doesn't go, Wes, well, whatever you choose to be. God, that's a slap in his face. Amen. So in life, everybody say in life. We have to understand that the past is the past. We cannot live in the past. I think I made that statement when I was here a few weeks ago. We cannot live in the past. The reason we choose things and the reason that we do things now today, because God says, nowhere in the Bible does God say, you know, I am the great I was. We don't live according to our past, good or bad. Thank God for a past that's good. But a lot of people didn't have that good past. We live with a God who says, I am who I am. And every day of our life, every moment of our life, God will always be the great I am, not the great I was. And there comes a time that we need to forget those things that are behind and press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as it says in Philippians. But listen to this out of Isaiah 43 again, verse 18. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, this is God speaking. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it, and will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. In other words, God will make a way even when it doesn't seem like he's able to make a way. Even that there may be no way out, God can make a way. He will make a way. But here's the key. Guard your heart with everything in you. And when you do that, then it will direct the course of your life. So many times we want other answers besides God's. Find out what God's answer is and then just hang with it. Just stay with it. My Father loves me. He called me by my name. He knows who I am. Knows where I live. And he knows what his purpose for my life is. And the best way for me to find that out is just to stay close to him. I've done that at times better than other times, I'll be honest with you. God's calling people back to churches. And churches is not where we're going to end up, but with, again, God's purpose in bringing us together is to equip us to go out and do the work of the ministry. The reason sometimes churches, maybe we stumble along, is we think, well, we're just going to go to church if we can just make it back one Sunday and then survive till the next Sunday. No, you should go out here equipped, bless God, ready to take on the enemy. And when you run into him, you take authority over him. And sometimes that's just taking authority over him in your thought life. That's not my thought in the name of Jesus. He'll try to make you think otherwise, but God is the God. And here's, I need to try and look at this wall because I can't believe I'm thinking about finishing. But in this passage of scripture out of Isaiah 43, and this is something that you need to get a hold of. In verse 25, God says it so wonderfully in the Amplified. Says, I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions for his own sake. And he says, I will not remember your sins. How many of you are glad for that? And the rest of you're not saints. You ought to have had your hands up on that. Dear gosh. He said, Brandon, when I call you and you come to me, I will not remember your sin. If you try to remind him, he's going to say, I don't remember. He has a perfect, because he is God who is perfect, he has a perfect ability to literally forgive and forget your sin. He did it while he came into the kingdom of God, when you came in as an unbeliever. He washed you clean by the blood of his son. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. Don't you think that's a little bit awesome? That he forgot my sins? Can't even remember them. Lord, you remember tonight? No, I don't. Lord, you know that day that I said, I don't remember that. The only way he's going to remember is if you keep reminding him. There's enough good religious believers that will remind you. But aren't you glad you don't have to listen to them? Because you can look at them and say, my father forgot that. He didn't remember it. All he does is just love me for who I am. And he's made a way out when there has seemed to be no way out. He's freed me up when it seemed like there was no freedom available. He has come into my life and made such an incredible difference. Aren't you glad for God? I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your sins, your transgressions, for his own sake. You know why? Because God and sin cannot be joined together. So he has to wash you clean. And that's why people have a hard time with believers when we become Christians. They remember our past life that was full of sin and iniquity, full of failure, whatever the case may be. And we sometimes have that as believers. But he still loves us. He loves us just as much now as he did before we met him. He wants to keep us washed so that we can have full contact with him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love God more today than I loved him when I first got born again. I love him more and more. And I say to him a lot, God, you're such a good God. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. And I, for one, am not turning back. How about you? Stand with me. I feel like the Lord wants to say something. This will be a help. Do not keep your eyes on your circumstances. Don't allow your emotions to be swayed by what doesn't seem to be right or fair right now. But putting your eyes upon the Lord. The Bible says, we look up from where our redemption draws nigh. Looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And make the decision this week not to be moved by circumstance, not to be moved by your feelings. Amen. So Father, I bless this group of people. I bless those that are here in this place, those who are watching online. God, I know that everybody has different challenges, different things they're going through. But God, I believe that their focusing upon you will expedite their journey through that situation. And God, that you'll bring comfort to the soul like no other can. There are those who hurt when they lie down put their head down on a pillow at night. They're hurt by just what's happened. And God, I thank you that you're helping them right now as they learn to trust in you with all their heart and to not lean upon their own understanding. But in all their ways, they will acknowledge you and you will direct their paths. And God, I thank you for that. Thank you that we are the redeemed. We're not going somewhere to get redeemed. We're redeemed so we can go somewhere in his authority and his power. And if you can agree with that, say amen and amen. Well, tell somebody you like them before you leave, and you are dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.